Welcome to the 165th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome, and thank you for listening. Well, rainy weather down here in Florida. I have to get outside between the raindrops, so this time of year it's starting to get humid, so between the afternoon rains and the morning humidity, it's good to get the workouts done early, so triathlon training has started, so some of the bikes done inside on a Zwift. I like that app, so you can virtually ride on your trainer with anyone in the world. So and if I'm out there riding, if you're on Zwift, send me an email. Maybe we can go for a virtual ride together. That would be great fun. I'm swimming a couple days a week, and usually get that in the morning to avoid the raindrops and the runs. I did a 10K last week for Memorial Day. It was very cool. Two of our members of the practice ran as well. So it was nice. We had a little plant strong running team. It was kind of humid, but they did the 5K. I did the 10K. It was good. Sometimes running a shorter race is harder than a longer race because you're, really putting it out there. So I hadn't run a 10 or a 5K for a long time. I've just been sticking to marathons and then my ultras. So I hit some pretty high heart rates for me. Since the ultra, I've been trying to add more weight training to my regimen. So I'm doing some lunges after my long runs and getting more into the weight routine a couple times a week. So that's been good. And after the 10K last Monday, we had a little landscaping project we got started on to do some landscaping around the fruit trees in the garden. And so that entailed digging up sod and dumping the sod and shoveling river rock and moving things all around. So it was pretty good cross-training workout. I think that was left me a little bit more sore maybe than a marathon sometimes. So it's, when we talk about exercise, it doesn't have to actually be some sort of sporting activity. Gardening is a great exercise. Digging in the dirt's a great exercise. Anybody that does that on a regular basis knows. So, there's a lot of different ways to get your movements in. And when you're doing that, it's also important that you, lift and bend the right way. So we try to incorporate mobility into the practice and some mobility training. And certainly, squats and functional movements are good so that when you're outside doing those activities that you do them right and you're less likely to get injured. But I really enjoy getting outside and working in the backyard. It's a great stress reliever and a great way to spend the day, get some good old vitamin D. So don't be afraid to get out and get some sunshine and get your hands dirty. There's a thing called earthing that you're actually, when you have your hands in the dirt or your feet on the ground, that you have your electrical system kind of comes in contact with the earth system, and you it's a good way to ground yourself. And it's a lot of positivity that can come from it. So today is what people were telling me at swim practice is National Donut Day. And everybody was all excited over there about donuts. And of course, I mentioned the grease part and the sugar part and the fried part. And of course, people say, well, but they taste good. And, oftentimes when we talk in class about, well, what is bad about pastries or what's the bad part? Do you blame the carbohydrates? Do you blame the fat? Do you blame the butter? And, obviously it's all of those combined when it comes to a donut. The oil's going to, there's just nothing good about it. There's absence of fiber. There's absence of any nutritional value. And it's where the plant-based movement starts to differ from the vegan movement. I heard Dr. Goldhammer express it, a lot of lifestyle diseases are from dietary excess. And just because we go plant-based doesn't mean we don't have access to becoming or having a dietary excess of things like fat and sugar, and donuts a prime example. It's not something that is going to do anything to make us live longer, live better, or live more healthy. So I hope you skipped Donut Day today. I was really happy to see, you know, going back to the 10K over on Memorial Day, that afterwards they had a deli called Jason's Deli, was the food type sponsor, and they had watermelon and bananas and pickles at the end, which was great. It's usually, you know, a bunch of a goopy, greasy food. So it was nice that for a lot of families that were there, that there was a lot of watermelon and things for people to get a hold of. So it was certainly a nice change to see that in our local running community. A couple things happened this week, and they all, you know, it's amazing how things just kind of come together and interact. And I had a referral to a doctor in New York that did a surgery for a patient of mine. And we were talking about, you know, when people wait and postpone getting something evaluated. And he used the term, you know, sometimes people wait to come and see him, and when they come and see him, they're expecting the Hail Mary pass or something miraculous to be done. And sometimes that happens in medicine, and a lot of times medicine gets a bad rap because people do wait till things have gone pretty bad, and they're looking for the Hail Mary to fix them. Sometimes we, you know, again, and often in medicine, we wait till things are broken to go get fixed. People talk to me about, well, I really don't need a doctor or a membership practice because I really don't have anything wrong with me. And it's like, well, that's great. But the idea is to avoid getting something or having something go wrong with you. So how can we make that better, whether it's through mobility or movement or nutrition? How can we avoid that going wrong so that you know you have to have that, you're looking for that Hail Mary? That's what we want to avoid, is having to need that Hail Mary. And the other thing that goes along with that is the American Cancer Society now is recommending colon cancer screening for people starting at age 45. And the reason why they're doing this is that the cancer incidence has gone up over 50% from 1994 with regards to the incidence of colon cancer in the 40 to 49-year-old age group. And, you know, that is horrific when you think about it. So younger people are getting advanced colon cancer despite, you know, us having, you know, all these great medicines and all this great supplements and vitamins and protein powders and people thinking they're so healthy and they're eating whole foods, they're eating clean. You know, we hear all these buzzwords, eating natural, eating organic, yet younger people are getting colon cancer at an early age. And as most of you know, colon cancer is largely preventable. The area of the world that has the lowest incidence is in Africa. They eat a tremendously high fiber diet. And even in places in Africa where they eat less fiber, but they have, you know, cornmeal in the form of porridges, it's known as a resistant starch. And what happens is the starch that, say, potatoes that are cold or pasta that is cold, it's not completely digested in the early part of the intestine. And so it makes its way down into the colon, where the bacteria can actually use this to make short-chain fatty acids like butyric acid. And it's actually protective against colon cancer. Yet with all this announcements on CBS and NBC and all the major networks and NPR and Washington Post, everybody talks about screening, but nobody talks about prevention. And, you know, by the time we have a polyp that we can see that's cancerous, you know, there's about a billion cells and, you know, we're down the road. And we know that, you know, there's so much we can do to prevent, especially when you start backing it up, you know, and start looking at these young age groups. So some things you can do to, you know, prevent or decrease your risk of colon cancer is the first simple thing is, you know, eating a plant-based diet. The first thing you're going to do when we eliminate animal protein, especially processed meats, you know, the sausages, the prosciuttos, the salamis, pepperonis, even turkey breasts, which are a class one carcinogen equal to three cigarettes, you're going to decrease those. You get rid of, you know, all meats. The protein is going to decrease your risk of colon cancer. one of the things that happens as ammonia levels rise in the colon, as the pH starts to go down because of these bacteria that we select if we're going to metabolize meat that are dead and decaying, these levels again cause a lot of DNA damage and end up destroying DNA and increasing our risk of the colon cancer started. So if you think about kids in the United States with, you know, the extremely low fiber, in class today we talked about, you know, back in the day, you know, when I was growing up, I liked, you know, if I did eat a cereal, it was Cocoa Krispies, but oftentimes, you know, chocolate cake was my favorite breakfast. And so maybe a gram of fiber in the chocolate cake, that would have been it. And then if you moved on to lunch, if it was a bologna sandwich on white bread with a slice of cheese, you know, maybe another gram of fiber. Probably wasn't any fruit involved, maybe some watermelon in the summer, so you might have given me 2 or 3 grams of fiber there. Dinner could have been pork chops and then, you know, maybe peas and a potato, so you get 4 or 5 grams there. But even, you know, so that standard American diet gets you about 10 to 13 grams of fiber a day. And we know to really be protective, you can decrease your rate just by 33%, just adding 10 more grams of fiber to your diet. So adding a cup of raspberries or a cup of beans, you know, a pear can really decrease your risk of colon cancer. So if you put that with, along with getting rid of the red meat and the processed meats, you can really go a long way to help yourself. The other thing, we know that the fiber does is it increases the production of good bacteria that again produce these good short chain fatty acids. When people do eat meat, the other thing is how they prepare it. Because of the risk of infection, meat is often said to, you know, especially chicken and pork, is to cook it well done. People put it on the grill, especially this time of year, and the fat causes a flame and the high heat causes the charring and the burning, and this releases heterocyclic amines and polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons that are very toxic. So if you know somebody that's going to be grilling out, obviously the charcoal, the briquettes are a little, because the heat is lower, they're a little bit safer. If you take the fat off the meat, it's a little bit safer because you're not having this flame that's burning and charring. To not eat the charred part that people like, to take the skin off a chicken, that, you know, that all helps. But again, you know, we're dealing with animal protein, that the risk is there, but you can just see how this stuff just, you know, it just keeps worse. It just keeps getting worse and worse. So, you know, obviously the safest way is to avoid meat at all costs. So what are you gonna do? Well, there's carrot dogs, you know. I mean, most of the people like the toppings on things, so taking a carrot and putting it in your Instant Pot for about 3 minutes, getting it nice and soft, and then marinating it in some barbecue type seasonings, smoked paprika, some cumin and garlic, and then putting and then finishing that for a couple minutes on the grill just to kind of get you know, it heated up, and then put your toppings that you like, you know, for hot dogs, jackfruit burgers, bean burgers, you know, a variety of different seed burgers that that you can eat. So there's tons of ways to you know, substitute in for summertime barbecues that are much less safe, or much safer, I should say. You know, after reading about the toxicities, you know, on the grill, you know, we're all enamored by the grill and, you know, being out, and it's around picnics and again about friends. And but, you know, I don't even think I want my veggie burgers on the grill, as, you know, worst case scenario, like I said, on briquettes, you know, but I think I'd rather have them baked in the oven, a little bit safer. So, you know, why take something good and make it bad? Comes back to the, you know, the donut. Why take vegetables and make them bad? So why take flour and make them bad and make a donut and fry it? So there's no need for that. But, you know, it comes back to this Hail Mary. You know, we're trying to diagnose cancers and treat things earlier, and everybody's, you know, on TV talking about, you know, finding these cancers, but nobody's talking about preventing these cancers. And I just think it's, you know, it's so important, especially for our kids. When I was growing up, I didn't eat fruit that wasn't in a pie. You know, fruit is a tremendous source of fiber. It's a tremendous source of antioxidants and phytonutrients. So, you know, have that watermelon. I talked about a couple of weeks ago when the little kid was in the blackberry picking the blueberries, and his mother said not to eat them. And it's like, what a horrible thing to say to a little kid. You want the kid to eat all the blueberries and be in the sunshine as much as they can. You know, so get the fruit in and increase your fiber. You know, oatmeal for breakfast with a few walnuts and the berries and the fruit. You're going to increase your fiber way more than that donut or my chocolate cake from yesteryear. The lunchtime, the giant salad with beans. Beans are a tremendous source of fiber. Get those in along with, you know, a variety of colorful vegetables. And, you know, and then repeat the process at dinner. And you can really do a lot to decrease your risk of colon cancer. I think everybody should have a heme test on the stool to make sure that they don't have any blood. If you have blood in your stool, that's a really big risk that there may be a cancer going, and then you need further screening. And certainly if you've just become plant-based after being, you know, eating a standard American diet for years, your risk is going to be there for the next 10 years. That polyp, those polyps can start forming 10 years ago. So it's certainly good to be screened. There's a condition called familial polyposis where people start getting diffuse polyps at a very early age, even as early as the 30s, and they have a very high risk of colon cancer. And sometimes they'll even recommend that these people have a colectomy, and there's just a pouch left. And there's been some studies that they've looked at these people, and if they actually expose them to curcumin and quercetin that comes from red onions, and the curcumin that comes from turmeric, they can actually show a regression in these polyps. So again, adding turmeric to things, you know, onions, the mushrooms, it really can decrease your risk of colon cancer. So you just don't have to be screened and wait for something bad to happen. You can be proactive. The other thing that we know is wheat binds bile acids, so it decreases that risk of colon cancer. So, you know, don't be afraid of whole grains to help out. We also know that calcium is not a good binder, so taking calcium supplements actually decreases the ability of whole grains to bind wheats. So when they're used together, the wheats and the whole grains are not as effective. And countries that have the highest calcium intake tend to have the highest colon cancer intake. So that's not a source of protection for your bones. It's not a source of protection for your colon. I have a few new patients that are brand new to eating plant-based. They want to improve their health. They want to get off their medications. They have a variety of different illnesses. And the question is where to start and take that first step. And one patient in particular is just overwhelmingly confusing. And so they came in for a second visit, and they hadn't really tried one thing because they didn't want to fail. They didn't want to make something that didn't taste like what they're used to. Didn't seem like they would know how to season without adding butter and oil to things. And I'd like to look at this like, you know, you would if you were starting anything from scratch. And for instance, a toddler just beginning to walk. If we wait till we think we can do something perfectly to actually give it a try, then nobody would ever walk. You know, the struggle of standing up and falling down, it's a necessary thing. And, you know, the more you do something, the better you get it. So you have to start. You know, the excuse that I can't start because I couldn't give up my oil, or my family wouldn't let me, or, you know, you've heard a lot of the zillions of excuses. It's too complicated. You just have to try one thing. So, you know, if it's just trying breakfast, it's, you know, increasing that fiber content for the morning meal. It's a start. You know, adding one extra vegetable to your meal at night, taking out the simple things that people can do, taking out the butter, taking out the beef and chicken broth, taking out the cheese. You can make a tremendous, you could have a tremendous impact very, very easily without a whole lot of new and different cooking. I think a lot of times people try to make the meals like their other meals. So, you know, let's go back to my chocolate cake example. If I'm looking for a plant-based healthy substitute for my chocolate cake, I'm not going to find it. I'm going to be completely disappointed because it doesn't exist. And that's what went a long way to make me unhealthy. So it's a matter of changing your focus. You know, that was the old, this is the new. So what fruits can I learn to eat, or what fruits can I try that I may like, but I'm not looking for the fruit that's going to taste like chocolate cake. But it won't take very long that my taste buds actually become accustomed to the sweetness of fruit, and I actually start to crave them for their own sweetness and their own individual taste. Because we see all these recipes on the internet and TV that have these cheesy, greasy sauces, we think that we have to put a sauce on vegetables, and we actually don't. You know, we need to learn the taste of the vegetables by themselves. So simple steamed Swiss chard with a little bit of garlic, a sweet potato does not, it's a sweet potato. It doesn't have to have something on it. It can be very simple. You know, green peas, very simple, very tasty, very sweet, high in fiber, high in nutrients. It doesn't have to have a sauce. It doesn't have to have a big dollop of butter to make it taste good. Yesterday on our cooking tour, someone talked about how could you eat corn without butter and salt on it. Well, sweet corn is very, very sweet, and it doesn't have to be greasy to be good. It's just different. So when you try it different, then you realize that it's actually very, very good. And then, you know, we talked about, what about the cheat days, or what about if every day is, you know, something comes up. Somebody came and said their arthritis was still, it's not getting any better. Lost a little bit of weight, but they're still not getting better. Well, turns out they're having dairy about every third day. Most of our immune system is triggered from our colon. Our gut microbes, launch the cavalry. They set the army loose every time we have something that, you know, so the inflammatory nature of milk proteins will set our system off. So if you have a cheat day on Saturday and your immune system is all fired up, it's not going to just turn off 2 hours after you eat. That is, you know, the immune system is revved up. It's going to take days for that to bring down. So if somebody's having something every other day that's still riling up their immune system, and they're all inflamed, they can't ever catch up and ever settle down. So you really have to give yourself, get rid of the inflammation by getting rid of the dairy and increasing your fruits and vegetables. And, you know, you will see some really spectacular results. I had a diabetic that had terrible neuropathy, and she's like, wanted a pill, wanted a vitamin to try to get rid of her neuropathy. And I finally said, you need to eat 5 cups of cooked greens a day. She was not eating any animal products. She was eating oil. I said, eat 5 cups of greens a day and don't have any oil. She didn't have any diabetic neuropathy. She was like, it's gone. It's gone that quickly after years. You know, she was on 60 units of insulin. Now no neuropathy and no insulin. And once you see that, once you feel that success of no neuropathic pain, no joint pain, it's like you're going to stay away from that stuff. You don't want to do the stuff that causes the problem. It's just so hard to get through your head sometimes that what you're eating is actually triggering all the pain that you have in your body. I also had a conversation with a guy that his wife was a fantastic sugar, oil, and salt-free cooking, plant-based, you know, she does very well and makes all kinds of wonderful dishes. But when he's out on the road traveling, he'll go out of his way to go to a McDonald's or a Burger King or something to eat that, even if he has packed things with him. He'll fall to the temptation, and it's almost like I'm out. It's when you're out and it becomes a little bit difficult, it's a license to just go completely off the reservation, go completely off the wagon, even though you know that you're not making any progress with reversing your disease, whether it be diabetes or coronary artery disease or hypertension. And so you have to have that little bit of a moment of a pause again to realize why are you doing this? Why, you know, if your body is so diseased, you have arthritis, you have diabetes, you have high blood pressure, you have coronary artery disease, you know, giving yourself that 5 minutes of, or that one meal of greasy, oily, fried food is enough to keep you from getting, you know, your disease reversed, or keeping you from getting on track again. And it's a matter of maintaining your focus and really coming to grips with the food is what is causing these lifestyle diseases. And you can't ever figure, there's just no way around not just saying no to these things. You know, a little bit is just going to cause a little bit of heart disease or a little bit of cancer or a little bit of diabetes. And a little bit of any of these things have the same result as basically a shorten your lifespan and shorten your quality of life. So, you know, you just have to come to grips with that and start to and keep that in the forefront. Why I'm doing this. This particular person also didn't want to be one of those people that when they went to a restaurant that, you know, sent stuff back or ordered or asked a lot of questions. But, you know, again, it comes down to if you're paying money for your food and you're going out and a restaurant says that they can provide you with plant-based food, and they say they can make it, as you know, without oil, and then it comes with oil or it comes with cheese, they're not giving you what they said they could. So if you're going to pay money and they said they can, then you deserve to have what you want to pay for. And the more you educate the restaurants, from the wait staff to the chef, the more this gets out and the more that these options will be available. But, you know, when we start looking at, again, vegan hot dogs and vegan donuts and vegan, you know, cheesy, fake cheese desserts, we're not doing ourselves any favor because the message is really skewed because these things are just as much junk food as their animal counterparts. You have the ability to keep yourself healthy through what you eat. So when you turn on the TV at night and you see the fried chicken or the flame-broiled Whopper, you should be seeing the hydrocarbons and the carcinogens and the lack of fiber and the need for colonoscopies and colon resection. There's, you know, there's nothing worse than chemotherapy and major abdominal surgeries. That's what you should be seeing. We need to break our love affair with this greasy feel, with this greasy food. We've kind of become a society that's so sick that only thing we can do to enjoy ourselves is to go and sit and eat. You know, I thought Monday, you know, when I was at the 10K, the Memorial Day, it was so nice to see families of all ages. The oldest athlete was 85. There were four athletes in the 80 to 85 age group. That was tremendous for younger people to see these people still very active and moving. And wouldn't it be nicer if most of our activities and most of our social engagements was around movement and around being with people while we did things that made us healthy, as opposed to sitting around and eating that we all become unhealthy together? You know, so it was a great example. We ran, and then there was, you know, some good fruit afterwards. And people weren't disappointed that there wasn't donuts and candy bars. Everybody was happy with the watermelon and the bananas and the water that was there. And people stayed around and socialized and had a good time. And that's really what it's all about. So, you know, maybe this summer, plan an activity around doing something as opposed to getting together to eat. I remember growing up in the summer family reunions, and it was just about everybody bringing a covered dish and putting chairs out into the yard, and the adults would sit and they would eat, and then they would wait a while and they would eat again, and they would sit and talk and eat. And the kids would, you know, go off and play. But, you know, wouldn't it be better to have activities? So, you know, whether it's cornhole or volleyball or badminton, set up activities like that around your summertime reunions where you have, you know, where you have some competition, where you have people moving and walking, or set up in a place where people can go hiking together and then move. And then, you know, you can have some healthy food after, but it shouldn't be the focus of just sitting and eating. We've got to change that in this country, that everything is revolved around, anything happy is revolved around sitting and eating. So I'd encourage you to try to rethink some of your family picnics, your reunions this summer, maybe your vacation plans, that it's more around going to do something and eating should be secondary. So if you're going to the beach, you know, there's nothing, you know, I live down here in Southwest Florida, and the beaches are busy in the summertime with kids. And you see people come down with these giant tents and these giant coolers, and they're just pulling out bad food after, you know, whether they're grilling hot dogs or hamburgers, or they just have big bags of Doritos or chips. And people are just eating bad food and sitting and eating bad food. Why not make it about moving and then just have a cooler of fruit, or, you know, and just because people, when they're moving and they're entertained, people are happy. They don't need to sit around and eat. It's through boredom that people are sitting and eating. So, you know, when you're going to the beach, don't worry about the big cooler of junk food. Worst case scenario, bring some fruit and all kind, you know, and a fruit salad, or just a big watermelon and cut it up on the beach. That's perfectly fine. But leave the chips at home, leave all that grilled stuff at home, and center your activities around moving and being together and creating memories, as opposed to just creating sickness for yourself and your family. And I guess the last thing I'd like to touch on are some medications that are out there. You know, every day when you turn on the TV, you see a new medication that's advertised by a pharmaceutical industry. And a lot of times people are sucked into these things because they're given cards so they don't have to pay their copay with their insurance. So I think it's a pretty good deal. The doctor gives them a sample and they have this card, like a credit card. And so they don't have to pay for the copay, so it's free. So it's like, okay, great, I'll take this medication. And oftentimes there's more side effects to it, and it's harder to manage. You know, there's some diabetic medications out there that are part insulin and part blocker of glucose production. And when people are on that, they don't really have a defense against low blood sugars, and they can get really low blood sugars at night. And so when people are transitioning to plant-based diets, if their doctor's not watching very, very closely with them, they can get into some big trouble. There was a new medication just released called Consensi. It's a combination of Celebrex, which is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug, and amlodipine, which is a blood pressure drug. And, you know, this has trouble spelled all over it. People's like, oh, great, I get my blood pressure and my arthritis treated with one pill. And again, it'll be cheap early on with these supplemental cards, but then it will be, you know, a tier three or an expensive drug once these run out after about a year. Celebrex has been non-steroidal, are hard on your heart. They decrease in nitric oxide production. And so people that have heart disease can get vasoconstriction and increased risk for heart attacks. We know Celebrex has some issues with cardiomyopathies and decreased heart function. So here we have a drug that's supposed to treat blood pressure, and now it's actually could potentially cause worse heart function, not to mention the increased risk of bleeding, the increased risk of kidney problems. So these medications aren't to be treated lightly. And, you know, I have a lady with, again, come in with inflammation, and you take the animal protein and the dairy out of the diet, and the inflammation gets so much better, and a lot of joint pain will get very manageable without medications once you get the bad stuff out of the diet. So, you know, please give this a trial first. And then, you know, the side effect of that also is your blood pressure dropping. So you don't need these medications. And again, when you have a combination pill, you can't titrate these things. One goes up, the other one goes up. It's not like you can, you know, individually up one or lower one or get somebody off of it. So it can be really, really difficult. So, you know, I throw a big word of caution out there to people that are on medications. Ask, you know, the combo medications are a lot more difficult to control, a lot more difficult to get people off of. But the idea is they're never going to get people off of these medications. So they're just on there for the long term. And people think they're taking one pill instead of two. And so it's better, but it's really, really not. And so if you have some interest in getting off your medications, you know, again, you're going to want to work with your doctor and hope that that your doctor's on board with plant-based nutrition and being able to get you off of medication. This is not something that should be done by a lay person or on your own, because there can be some serious consequences of getting off of some of these medications. So beware, be cautious, and, you know, really try to stay away from combination medications if you possibly can. Okay, well, that's going to about wrap it up for this week. You know, takeaways is that plant-based nutrition can go a long way to getting rid of some of these chronic illnesses that are causing you grief. Moving your body can keep you young, build your brain, build your muscles. You can avoid colon cancer largely by eating a plant-based diet. Turn back the clock with the, you know, eating things with turmeric, onions that have quercetin in them. You know, eat your fiber to help feed your good gut bacteria, and get outside and get some fresh air and move your body. And, you know, make every day count. Don't waste time being sick when you can actually be doing things to make yourself healthier. So have a good week. I'll check in next week, and be plant strong.